97.5 The Fanatic.
As promised on the Comcast Business Hotline, good friend, I should say, of the program. He's my podcast partner. Had him on last night. We're going to talk a little bit more about this situation. He's the great Steve Callis. Hello, Steven. How are you, my friend?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you.
You too, bud. I don't even know where to begin with this, but Colin Kaepernick.
Can I begin with Lewis Riddick and Jalen Rose?
Oh, yeah, please. Go ahead. Your thoughts
on Riddick. Lewis Riddick is our guy, right?
Yes.
Certainly on football and now not on football. I think he's the smartest guy in the room usually, and he's not the kind of guy to make you know that he's the smartest
right.
guy in the room.
Right.
What he said, I thought was fantastic. And he laid it out, and we talked about it last night. If you're going to talk about minority relations, it's good to have white people write and talk about it. Carson Wentz gets credit. You could say better late than never, but he gets credit. He's not Chris Long, but maybe he'll go there someday. If you're talking about women's rights, women write about it all the time, especially in the sports arena. It's good to have men write about it. You want to talk about LGBT stuff. That's great, but it's good if some straight people, men and women, would write about it. I think that's helpful, and that's obviously come out here for whatever reason. Maybe it's because of Carson Wentz. I don't know. But when Jalen Rose comes on, and look, he gets rightfully emotional. I don't know what it is to be black, but he gets rightfully emotional. But when you say things like, quote, you didn't listen when Martin said it, and you didn't listen when Malcolm said it, to me, you got to be a little careful there now, because you've now painted the whole white race with a broad, broad, broad brush that is just wrong. And I'll give you a little legal history here, because you know I'm a lawyer.
Yep.
1954, Brown v. Board of Education, the great Thurgood Marshall was the lead counsel. You know, that's the one that ended segregation.
Yeah.
Although it didn't really end segregation, that's a different conversation. But he be and was the first one to tell you that he had a ton of white lawyers helping him out. He was the main man. He argued the case. He became the first African-American Supreme Court justice. But back then, I'm talking now 50s and 60s, he had a lot of help, and he knew it. So, again, it's hard to say you didn't listen when Martin said it. Lots of people listened. Lots of white people listened. I don't know if as many listened with when Malcolm said it. That's a different conversation. That's, you know, peaceful stuff versus maybe violent stuff. Don't want to go there now. But I understand the emotion, and I do want to give credit. I told you last night about that great tweet with Colin Kaepernick on the right kneeling
yeah.
and the cop on the left kneeling on Mr. Floyd's neck, and it was LeBron James. Now, LeBron James is a bright guy, man. He's a great, great, great athlete, but he's a bright guy. So I give him total credit for that, because if you look at that as a white person and you don't understand the difference, the starkness of it all, it's the same, but it's so different.
Right, sure.
Then you do have a problem. But the you that I'm talking about is the white person who looks at that and says, screw Colin Kaepernick. I mean, that's just stupid. So, again, people don't like it when you say, oh, well, black people look alike. I mean, that's racist. Ugh, they all look alike. You're painting every African-American with the same brush. But you can't also say you didn't listen when Martin said it. You didn't listen when Malcolm said it. That's just wrong. So I took what Lewis Riddick said. They should put it somewhere like on a poster and sell the poster. But I think Jalen Rose, you know, might need someone to whisper in his ear and talk to him about the real. He said he was old enough, by the way, to remember this. I don't know.
Wasn't he
in the Fab Five in what, the early 90s?
Fab Five in the early 90s. In 1993, they were sophomores. He was probably 21 years old.
Okay, so that means he was born like 1970 or something.
Right, he wasn't around for that.
So again, I'm not taking anything. I like Jalen Rose. He's a smart guy. I think he got carried away a little bit. And I don't want to make a big deal about it, but, you know, that cuts both ways.
Sure, sure. Now let me ask you something, because this topic was thrown around and Lewis Riddick alluded to it. Do you think that some of these athletes like a Carson Wentz, guys who are high-profile guys with big microphones and big platforms, do they have a responsibility to speak out on some of these subjects?
Well, I certainly think when we talk about, remember Charles Barkley, I'm not a role model.
Yeah,
remember that whole
I mentioned that earlier. Yeah.
That's absurd. You're a superstar in any sport, any color. You're a role model.
I agree.
You don't have to like it.
Right.
You don't have to agree with it. You could say you're not, but you are. So I think it's great that Carson Wentz spoke up, as you discussed before, you know, a white guy from North Dakota. That's not quite the same, you know, as a white guy from Philly or New York or Detroit.
Right.
But I think it's great. Was it late? I don't know. Because, again, when you start going on, oh, maybe he was a little late, then you're going to, like, when he reads that or others read that about him, they're like, oh, man, I better not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So take it when you get it, because different people come from different places and come to it's more like what Marcus Hayes was talking about yesterday. You get there, you're from a different place, and you get there eventually, that's a good thing. So you can't really put a timeline on this stuff. But, yeah, I think absolutely these guys, you know. So we just went through the Jordan thing with the Republicans by sneakers, too, and he said, oh, that was a total joke. Do you remember that?
Yeah, sure.
But if you go back and look at the time frame, and that's what you have to look at, he never took a stance.
No.
So you can tell me that was a big joke, but you never really, really, really took a stance. And this was on, I believe, right, the Nike manufacturing in China where people were making, or wherever it was, they were making, you know, 23 cents an hour or something.
Right.
So he wasn't going to talk against his financial best interest, no matter what he says now.
Right.
You know, there's been a lot of after the fact. Michael Jordan had carte blanche to say that's in, that's not in, that's in, that's not in. But I think the problem with all that is you can't tell people when to do what. I don't care what. You can't even tell people when to wear a mask. And I think you're a moron if you go outside and don't wear a mask. And we've already had even a killing somewhere over a guy in a store, a dollar store, tell a guy not to wear a mask. I mean, to wear a mask or don't come in. The guy went home, got a gun, came back and killed the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of wackos because we have 330 million people. So I just think you have to be. Do I think they should? Absolutely. Easy for me to say. But I see what you're doing today, Joe, and I respect you for that because you put yourself out there and you're probably right. You probably will get a lot of grief.
Oh,
but,
sure.
You know, it sounds like you're used to it. You deal with it. You do have, as you said, a microphone and 50,000 watt. That's a big deal. But you also said correctly, you're not Carson Wentz or fill in the blank. But yeah, absolutely, I think these guys should speak up about it. Easy for me to say.
No, I hear you, man.
97.5 The Fanatic. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. The Fanatic.
Now, let me ask, because I mentioned, and I don't know if we actually specifically talked about this last night, but the NFL continues to, in my opinion, to embarrass themselves. They can't get out of their own way. Colin Kaepernick said so many of the things that the NFL came out with in a statement yesterday. It looks so insincere because, you know, they basically blackballed this guy from the league, and now they're coming out and basically voicing the same things that he said. What'd you think of the statement from the NFL?
I think it's ridiculous. I mean, come on. These guys screw everything up. They have the greatest golden goose in the history of the world.
The history of the world.
And no matter how bad they screw it up, they can't screw up the actual football.
Right.
But everything around it, you can go back to Ray Rice and, you know, the commissioner of football saying, yeah, you know, I didn't even know you shouldn't put the victim and
the
accused
room.
In the same room. And you're thinking, oh, my goodness, really? Mm-hmm. That's, you know, intro to common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they want to put, you know, lipstick on a pig, frankly, from the NFL. I'm calling the NFL the pig because they're money-making machines, and Goodell gets $40 million a year because he just makes them richer and richer and richer. But when you get into these things like domestic violence or get into this kind of thing, everything they say is almost like a platitude. We have to do more, we have to do more, we have to do more. And he'd probably say, oh, look, we got Colin Kaepernick a tryout. And last night we did go through the joke of the tryout. Because it wasn't a tryout, it was
no.
a joke. And I hate to say it, but Kaepernick's the perfect example when people talk, oh, it's a short career, you don't have many years. Here's a guy at 28 who, as you were talking about, led a team to a Super Bowl right around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 4 years later, can't get a job this year, last year, or the year before. And that's just a disgrace. And now everyone can say, oh, he's too old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll get that behind the scenes. I don't know if you'll get it publicly from GMs or people who scouts or whoever. But it's not his fault he got too old. He got too old because nobody hired him at 29 or 30 or 31. And even the notion now, if he's working out like he said he was working out, you know, back when he had the, quote, tryout, close quote, he's still better than a ton of the backup quarterbacks. And you could argue maybe he's better than some of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So I don't think the story's over yet, but realistic, the story is probably over for him as a player, which is a shame. So anytime you put up an NFL statement, just put up a picture of Colin Kaepernick on the knee next to that statement, and you'll understand what's going on.
Do you think, in a way, he has been vindicated from all the hate that he got? Because now it's almost like, well, it happened just like he was saying. It continues to happen, and he's against it. Now we have this situation, and now we have people speaking out saying the same things that Colin Kaepernick was saying. Do you think he's vindicated at all?
Well, I think he's already kind of been vindicated with the settlement with the NFL. Nobody knows how much it was, but the rumors were the settlement was in the millions. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen Kaepernick with no NFL job for 4 years donating $1 million here or $100,000 there. He's donated a lot of money to a lot of causes. So I thought he was vindicated already. Does this make him more vindicated if there's a scale of vindication? Well, I guess so. And again, I'll go back to that LeBron James tweet. When you look at that tweet, I don't care who you are. I don't even care if you're a police officer. Look, I will say this. I know one police officer who's a lieutenant in New York, and he posted on Facebook with a picture of the cop with his knee on Mr. Floyd, and he said, and this is the problem when you have idiot cops because they hurt all of us. And now you see all over the country, frankly, he's got a point. Now you see all over the country all these protests where they're fighting cops in New York and Philly and L.A. and other places, and he's got a point. So I wouldn't paint all the police with the broad brush, just like if I was Jalen Rose, I wouldn't paint all white people with the broad brush. I think that's a huge mistake. But yeah, the point you made and the point that Lewis made and the point that Marcus Hayes made yesterday is you got to get these bad guys off the street. And this guy had, whatever you said, 15 complaints against him, and they seem to all disappear somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I forgot when I was talking yesterday, knee on Mr. Floyd's throat, hands in pocket. And I noticed again today, sunglasses on top of his head. So I don't know if he's Joe Cool or something like that. But I think it is true. The main thing is to get these guys off the streets quickly. But then, you know, to me, then all the cops are going, oh, man, you don't have my back. Mm-hmm. I'm not protected by you, the brass. And, you know, that's a tough balancing, but I agree totally with the notion that a guy like this maybe should have been off the street long before this ever happened. And then within the other three guys you're talking about, I think they'll all get arrested and charged with something. I don't know. I don't think it'll be murder, but charged with something. And then I'm going to guess this guy was the senior guy, and you don't want to mess with the senior guy. But you wish there was someone there, a cop. You know, the people were there saying, what are you doing? You're choking him. You're killing him. He can't breathe. You wish a cop would walk over to the guy and whisper in his ear, you know, you might want to take your knee off his neck now. Because we've talked about this for years, right? If someone with a brain would go up and whisper in the guy's ear,
yeah,
maybe he would have taken his knee off. Maybe he would have saved the guy's life. And again, don't forget, he was handcuffed. So it's not like Floyd could do anything even if he wanted to. This was not Eric Garner. This was worse than Eric Garner, if that's possible. Eric Garner, of course, the big guy in New York who got chokeholded down.
Yeah.
I can't breathe. He was not cuffed. And to me, that makes a difference. Obviously, neither one of these things should have happened. But I think if this guy takes his knee off after, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, he's handcuffed. I think he's alive today.
I agree. Steve, great job. Knocked it out of the park once again. Appreciate you coming on, pal. It's a very touchy subject, and I think you really nailed it, man. Appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you soon, bud.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
You too. Have a great one, Steve.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.